turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and I'm going to give you five things, and then we'll give you the first two or three of them pretty quickly, and then on number 4, I'm going to stop and do a little teaching time and show you some things, see if I can get you to get some level of comprehension as far as what the process is here in America and how we as Christians have a responsibility and obligation to participate in our nation's process and in our elections and seeing to it that the right people are in positions of authority. And so we'll read this portion of scripture, and then we'll pray, and then I'll teach the lesson this morning. Five Bible mandates for every citizen. Five Bible mandates for every citizen. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we read the Bible, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so we see that in this portion of Scripture, we're going to receive the first of five Bible mandates for every citizen. Now, what do you mean by citizen, preacher? I mean, if you're born in the United States of America and you're a citizen of this country. And you know what? It's an honor and it's a privilege to be an American. Let me say that again. I want you to get that in your heart. It's an honor and a privilege to be an American. But look right up here. With most privileges come responsibility. You also have responsibilities as an American. You know what? Watch this. You're either a good citizen or you're not. You're either a good citizen or some people are bad citizens of America. You either contribute to the good of your nation and the prosperity of your nation, or you undermine and destroy the integrity of your nation and hurt your nation. And so one of the things that you ought to set in your heart, even as a young person, is this: I want to be a good citizen. I want to be a good citizen of the country that God's allowed me to be born into. Because of my life, I want America to be stronger at the end of my life because God put me here. I don't want it to be weaker because I was not the type of a citizen that I should be. So what is the responsibilities that come with the privilege of being an American? Number one, responsibility according to God's word to pray for those that are in authority. Young people, you have a responsibility to pray for your leaders. That means you ought to be praying for your president. You ought to be praying for his family. You ought to be praying for people that are in Congress that are making the decisions and writing the laws of our land. You ought to be praying for people in authority here in the state of Indiana, our governor, Governor Pence, and other people that are in positions of authority. You ought to be praying for the political leaders in our community. I'm talking about the mayors of our towns, and you ought to be holding them up in prayer. Someone once said this: if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. Well, I say this: if you don't pray, you don't have a right to complain, because we all are obligated to pray for those in an authority. Now listen, look right up here and let me get this in your head. You're not a good citizen if you're not obeying that Bible, that portion of God's word. You're not a good American if you're not praying for those in leadership. You're being disobedient to Scripture if you're not holding up. You know, we can complain about them, but if we haven't prayed for them and asked God to control their thinking, ask God to control their hearts, then you know what? We have no right to complain. And if we're going to complain about something, what we ought to complain about is our prayerlessness. Okay? And so number one, pray for those in authority. Number two, obey and respect the laws of the land and those whose duty it is to enforce them. Now, let me have you use your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13, excuse me. Romans chapter number 13. Now, listen very carefully, young people, because one of the things that it has become, one of the things that have become a habit and acceptable, even sometimes in high school, in elementary school, in junior high school, is to be a complainer about those in authority, to be critical constantly about those in authority. Now, I'm going to teach you some things, and I want you to listen very carefully what I'm going to say here. Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Now, listen, look up here and listen to me. You know what? Good citizens obey the laws of the land. Good citizens obey the laws of the land. Good citizens have respect for those whose job it is to enforce the laws of the land. Let me tell you a lot of times what happens. You listen to me. There's a lot of negativity toward who enforces the laws, by the way? Someone tell me who some of the people are that enforces the law of the land? Policemen. Let me tell you what I hear a lot. I hear a lot of people that want to criticize law enforcement. It's just become fair game to criticize law enforcement. Now, is everybody that's on every police force get everything right all the time? No, they're human beings, and I'm sure they make mistakes too. But let me tell you where a lot of this negativity comes from. Watch this. Well, you got an uncle, or you got a cousin, or you got a family member, and they're breaking the law. Look right up here. Okay, they're involved in drugs, or they're stealing stuff, or they're dumb enough to hang around with people who do. And they get arrested. And all of a sudden, the entire family wants to become critical of those that are enforcing the law and protective because they're related to somebody who's breaking the law. And next thing you know, you hear all that nah, nah, nah about how bad law enforcement is. Let's criticize them. Let's throw rocks at them. Let's point fingers at them. Wait a minute, look right up here. Let me tell you something. You know what the Bible said right there? It says this: rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know what? I don't have problem with law enforcement. You know why? Because I don't go around cooking meth. I'm not selling drugs. You know? Okay, watch this. If you're going to break the law, don't blame a policeman when you get thrown in jail. Okay, you want to vandalize something, then don't blame the policeman when you get put in handcuffs. Matter of fact, I'll be applauding the policeman. Because you're breaking and tearing up stuff you never had to pay for in your life. You're being a punk. Okay, and what ends up happening is a bunch of young people want to act like hoodlums. Then they get in trouble for it, and then they want to turn around and throw. This has become famous, by the way. I mean, this is the way America works now. Kid gets in trouble at school for being a knucklehead. Comes home, gripes about the teachers, and the parents want to run in and let's put the teacher under the microscope. Let's try to find something wrong with the teacher. Well, she's this, and she's... And why don't you just take your kid out to the woodshed and let him have it and stand with the teacher with authority instead of against authority? Well, when America did that, we raised some pretty good young people. But every single time, parents, this is for you as much as it is for these young people. Listen, your kids are going to do wrong. You know why? They're sinners. Okay? And by the way, they have parents that are sinners. All right? And my kids are sinners, and they had parents that were sinners. We're all going to mess up sometime. When you do something wrong, you need to take responsibility for it. Are you listening to young people? You do something wrong, you take responsibility for it. Be man enough, be woman enough to step up and say, you know what, I said something I shouldn't have said and I should have gotten in trouble. Stop always trying to turn the guns at the authority and talk down those in authority. Listen, you know what, it's not the county prosecutor that's a bad guy if he has to walk in the courthouse and prosecute you or a member of your family for breaking the law. That's not a bad person. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be a terror to those that do evil. The police are supposed to be a terror to those that do evil. Okay? You want to break the law? You want to live lawlessly? Listen, we got crazy things happening in this county. Okay, I mean, we got crazy. I'm not sure Greene County is going to end up being the murder capital of Indiana before then. We're going to make Gary seem like a safe place to live if we keep it up. And you know what we need to do? Watch this. Support law enforcement. Need to get behind law enforcement. They're not the bad, okay? The people that are breaking the law are doing the bad. They're doing their job. Now, like I said, does that mean you can never in the history of law enforcement find somebody that did something wrong? No. But I'm going to tell you this. Watch this. Every once, and we do this, they do it with preachers, they do it with everything. You know, find one bad preacher or read about one bad preacher and he did something wrong and he was a charlatan and he did something wickedly wrong. And well, I'll tell you what, you just can't trust preachers. Well, I can tell you coal miners that have done something wrong. I can name a coal miner that's as crooked as the devil. So then I'm going to spit, I'm not going to call names, Val, but I mean, I know them, you know. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my life saying you can't trust any coal miner because there was one crooked coal miner. I know a plumber that was just as crooked as the devil. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life saying you can't trust plumber. And so, okay, there was an instance one time where a policeman did something. I get it. But that doesn't mean you throw the whole thing out. Listen, you have respect for the laws of the land and you have respect for those whose job it is to enforce the laws of the land. Young people, you get that in your heart. Okay, because the young people that I hear doing this all the time, watch this, they usually have a problem with other authority figures in their life too. Okay, and it's become a habit of life. You know, the teachers are bad, mom's dad, dad's bad, the preacher's bad, the police are bad, the teachers. You know, everybody in your life that tells you to do something you don't want to do is evil. No, they're not. They're doing their job, okay? And so I thank God for it. I pray for our local policemen right here in Jasonville. I pray for our policemen in Greene County, Sullivan County, and Clay County. They have a tough job in this day and age. They're dealing with crazy stuff. I'm going to tell you something. They're doing a job I wouldn't want to have to go and do every day of my life. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I'm wired to do that. But they have to deal with a lot of negative stuff and a lot of bad things and honestly a lot of bad people. And the last thing in the world we ought to be doing is throwing rocks at them. We need to be praying for them and supporting them in their job, okay? So obey and respect the laws of the land and those whose duty it is to enforce them. Now, I want to go over to Acts chapter number 4, and I want to explain something because we're going to touch on this a little bit tonight. We're going to touch on this this morning just real quickly. But I do want you to understand something. As a Christian, you say, preacher, if I'm supposed to obey and respect the laws of the land, what if our nation begins to pass laws that tell me that I cannot obey God? They're passing laws that tell me that I should not obey the Bible. And by the way, we're getting to that point in America where we're going to be facing some interesting things. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 15, the local authorities held captive, the local authorities kind of arrested, I hate to use the word arrested, they didn't really arrest him, but they detained, that's the word I'm looking for, the local authorities detained two men for preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Talking about the two preachers. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Watch this. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them. Now these are the local authorities. These are the ruling body of local government in that day. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them, watch this, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Whoa, wait a minute. You say we're supposed to obey them that have the rule over us. We're supposed to obey the higher powers. There are lawful laws, and then there are what I call unlawful laws. Unlawful laws are not a law that you just don't like it. Or it bothers you, or you wish it wasn't there. Sorry, that's not an unlawful law. An unlawful law is a law that tells you that you have to do something that the Bible says not to do or that you cannot do something that the Bible commands you to do. Now, if the local authorities in our state or our nation passed a law that said We are commanding you. We are passing a law that tells you you cannot teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ ever again. Am I supposed to obey that law? Well, let's see what these men did. Verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, verse 19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which is done. But for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They let them go. By the way, by the end of the chapter, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, these men said, sorry. All right, young people, watch this. Look right up here. Let's say the state of Indiana passed a law and said, you cannot anymore go to church. Churches are outlawed. You are not allowed to assemble together like this for a church service. Are you supposed to obey that law or disobey that law? Disobey that law. You know why? Because there is a law that's higher than that law. The Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. You know, you say that's never going to happen in America. It's happening in countries all over this world. There's Christians already that have to meet underground. And what that means is they have to meet in secret, out in the woods, in barns and in houses, in fear that the authorities will come and arrest them. But they continue to meet. Why? Because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Now, what I'm saying is this. Good citizens obey the laws of the land and have respect to those that enforce them, unless they pass a law that makes us disobey the Bible. And we will never and should never, because our first obligation is not to man, our first obligation is to God. All right, now, listen to me. You cannot find a verse in the Bible that tells you that you shouldn't have to go 35 miles an hour through town, okay? So don't, you know, we're not talking about those kind of laws. I wish I could find a verse in the Bible that said that, trust me. I've looked diligently for that verse and I can't find it. But what I'm saying is, listen, let's be good citizens, okay? Now, number three, pay taxes. I'm not going to spend much time on this because it's an annoying subject to me, but pay. We do have a responsibility to pay taxes. If you go back to Romans chapter number 13, where we were at just a second ago, Romans chapter 13, the Bible says, verse number 6 and 7, Romans 13, verse 6 and 7, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, what the Bible is saying is it recognizes the ability or the right for the government to collect certain customs or certain tribute or certain taxes. You say, well, preacher, again, where's the line on that? Now, watch this. I'm going to help you in a minute. Who's deciding how much tax we need to pay? Who's passing those laws? The people that we're sending up to represent us. And so in some ways, you say, preacher, I don't like the taxes. I think they're too high. I do too. I'll agree with you. How are we supposed to change that? We change that by changing the bodies or the governing boards that are making the decision on taxes. Okay, if you've got somebody that's running as a candidate and they're saying, I'm going to go raise your taxes and you want your taxes raised, then vote for them. But if you've got one that says, I'm not only you're paying too much taxes and we're going to lower them, which I think they're all saying that right now, but then listen, you want to put somebody in that, listen, I want to teach you something, watch it. But before I go on to this next point, you know what? Listen. I think taxes are too high. I think they waste a lot of what we get. But you know what? I'm going to render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar. You know Jesus paid taxes while he was here on earth? You know Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God. And so what I'm saying is this. Don't come over here and become a loony who decides that it's unbiblical to pay taxes because there's too much Bible on that. But we should have some say. There was a party in a Boston Harbor years ago. And the reason they had that little party and threw the tea, and they made this big giant pot of tea. It was quite amazing. Matter of fact, they turned the whole harbor into tea. I don't know if it was sweet tea. I don't really think it was because there probably wasn't enough sugar to. But they. What was the issue? Taxation without representation, which means this. You know what? the government shouldn't have right to raise our taxes without a representative of us being involved in the process. The people should have input, the people should have say, which is where we're going to go next. Now, we said this, 5 Bible mandates for every Christian. I'm going to have to jump quickly into this next one because I want to spend a little bit of time on it. So what are we supposed to do? Pray for those in authority, obey and respect the laws of the land and those who enforce those laws. Number 3, pay taxes because that's our obligation as citizens. You enjoy the roads that you drive on. I know we all gripe about the potholes, but let me trust you, the roads are a lot better than they were 50 years ago or 100 years ago. And you're glad that there's policemen to respond to emergency or ambulances that are come or firemen on duty. Listen, all of those things, you're glad there's a military that's watching our borders. There's a lot of things we can point at and say, that's a waste or whatever, but thank God that we have these things and we have them because we're willing to pay taxes, all right? Now, number 4, watch this. Participate in the political system by voting for candidates who will represent your biblical values. Now, 5th and 6th graders, 7th, 8th, and 9th, I don't want to lose you right now. I want you to listen to me because I want to teach you some things, okay? Now, I'm going to start talking and I'm going to say some things. You're going to think, oh, no, my brain's melting. I can't understand this, but really, you'll be fine. And I'm going to explain it such a way that hopefully it'll help you. Now, watch this. A lot of times, you'll hear the word, and here in reference to the United States, you'll hear the word democracy. And I will explain to you that we do have a level of democracy, but we are not a democratic country. We are a republic. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to explain what that means. Now, the way I'm going to explain this is this. In a democracy, a true democracy, everybody would have a right and an obligation and an opportunity to vote on everything. Okay, now watch this. Let me get the number right here. There was 1,161 bills that were introduced into our state house in the 2014 session. 1,161 bills that needed to be dealt with. Okay, they needed to be decided whether they were going to go through, have a chance to be voted on. 1,161 bills. Now, in a true democracy, if we were a true democracy, every one of us would have to stop what we were doing 1,161 times, drive to Indianapolis, the entire state, and vote on every one of those bills. Who's got time to do that? Nobody. And so it's almost unrealistic for us to say, well, we're a Democrat, we're a democracy. No, we're a republic. So what do we do instead? We instead of all of us spending all of those trips to Indianapolis, reading every single bill and making every single decision, which nobody has the time to do or no work's going to be done. And if no work's done, no more money's earned, and no money earned, there's no taxes, there's no government. Wait a minute, this is sounding better. Let me think about this a minute. But anyway, we wouldn't have time to live life. And government is ordained by God. Now, watch this. So we're going to make this Greene County, Indiana. How many actually live in Greene County? Okay, how many don't live in Greene County? Okay, you do for just a second here. Because you're right now in Greene County, so you're living. Are you alive? And you're in Greene County, so right now you're living in Greene County, all right? And so this is Greene County, and what county do you want to be, Clay or Sullivan? Sullivan? Okay, all right, you're all going to move in a trailer. Sorry. That's so unfair. That's just wicked. That was bad. It's like somebody, I live in Clay County, so I can pick on Greene and Sullivan. It doesn't matter to me. But, all right, okay, you're Sullivan County. What county are you? You don't look happy about it. I understand that, but, all right. Now, watch this. All of you are going to have to stop everything you're doing every day of your or for a certain amount of weeks every year and make 1,161 decisions about 1,161 bills and the gas. No, you don't have time to do that. So what you're going to do as a county is you're going to vote for one guy to represent you. This is what a republic is. They're going to represent you, and they're going to go up and make those that vote for you. You young people staying with me so far? All right, now, So somebody has to, number one, be willing to do that. Somebody has to say, you know what, I would like that job, or I would be willing to do that job. And by the way, this guy has a life, and this guy has to make a living, and this guy's, but he's going to, listen, he cares about our community. He wants to make a difference. He wants to make sure, watch this, that you are represented. And that if you had the time to drive up there and cast your vote, he would make the same decision that you would make if you had the time to do it. And so we need a candidate, okay? Who's going to run for office here? I was going to say David Napa-Unoa, but I don't know if we should have foreigners involved in, you know, I'd like to find an American if I could, so. And then I was thinking about Nathan, but I want an honest politician, and so I'm trying to think who here, let's see here, who we got. All right, Nathan, come on up here. All right, Nathan says, listen, folks, I run a turkey business, and, you know, I'm a turkey entrepreneur, and I have my turkey kingdom and all of that, but I'm going to take time from my turkey barns, and I'm going to do this and try to serve my country in this way. So he presents himself as a candidate, okay? And he says, I want to do it. But this foreigner also wants to do it. Come on up here. And so David comes up and says, hey, you know what? I think I could do a good job of doing this. And so I'd like to be, this is very typical in America, the kind of choices that we have, you know. You choose the greater of the two evils, or the less of the two evils, the less of the two. So you've got these two guys, and they both step up and say, I feel like I could do it. Now, folks, watch this. This is what makes an election. This is what an election is. Does he just get to decide, I'm going to be the guy? You don't have any say in it? Does he get to decide, I'm going to be the guy? No. We have an election because every one of you then have a choice to make between these two guys as far as who you think would be the best one to go up and represent you and vote, watch this, like you would vote, who shares your values, who shares your beliefs, okay? I can't go and look at 1,161 bills. So I'm gonna either have to trust this guy to do it or this guy to do it. Now watch this, young people, I want you to get this. You say, preacher, oh, politics are boring and they, who cares and whatever. You better care. You better care. Christians, oh, I don't think Christians ought to be involved. We shouldn't even be talking about this. Yeah, we've had that attitude for some time. How are we doing? How's this? Is the country getting better because Christians have decided they're going to set off and have no say in it, and they don't want to get their hands dirty, and so they don't have time for it, so who cares? I mean, we better care. We better start caring. And so now what you need to do is this guy is going to try to convince you to vote for him. And this guy's going to try to convince you to vote for him. And unfortunately, watch this, young people, I'm being honest with you. A lot of times these guys will lie to you and tell you what they think you want to hear because they want that position. All right. I'm not saying any one in particular, but I'm just saying that some politicians are dirty, stinking rats. All right. And so they're un-American. All right, so well, now, well, preacher, what if this one's telling me what I want to hear and this one's telling me what I want to hear? Well, you better be willing to ask some hard questions. You better take a look at their testimony. By the way, you ought to find out whether they're Christians or not. Right. Wouldn't you think it'd be better to have a Christian up there representing you as a Christian as somebody that's not a Christian? This guy wants to talk about God and how much he loves Jesus and all this. You might want to find out whether he even has attended church before he became a politician. Or after he gets voted in, does he go to church? Okay, now watch this. You might want to know whether or not he's for killing unborn babies. Because I'm not for that. And if any bill comes up about that, I want him to represent my viewpoint on that. So if I find out he's for abortion, I'm not gonna vote for that guy because I don't want a baby killer from my district going up there and making. Listen, if a man doesn't have any more integrity than to protect an unborn baby in his mother's womb, if he says killing babies, unborn babies is okay. 60 million of them, folks, since 1973. And he's for that? I don't trust him. I mean, I can't trust him with children, the innocent of all the children. Why would I trust him with any other area of his life? Okay, I don't want to look at his life and see if he's been moral or not. I want to know if he's cheated on his wife. All right, and I mean, I'm just telling you, listen, we've got a chance to send somebody up there to represent. I want to know about this guy. I want to know if he's been honest in his life. I want to know if he's trustworthy in his life, okay? I want to know whether he's for the biblical view of the family, a husband and a wife. I want to know if he's going to go up there and vote for the perversion of homosexuality. I want to know that. Because if he's going to do that, listen, he's an American. He has a right to his opinion. But if he's going to go up there and try to help ramrod perversion into acceptance and all of this, then I want to know that because I want my vote to go to the guy who doesn't believe, who doesn't believe like that. And what I'm saying is, young people, listen, it's time as Christians we begin to educate ourselves a little bit. We go to the booth or the voting booth with a little bit of knowledge about who stands where. And by the way, Christians, watch this. It's time for us to go to the voting booth. Okay, thank you very much, guys. I had some fun with them, but you know what? I'd vote for either one of those guys. I would. Even the guy that's the foreigner, I'd vote for him. He's a good man. Now, you say, all of you've got a right to vote, right? All right, all of you've got a right to vote. All of you can make a difference and decide between these two guys, right? Okay, watch this. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, let me have this number right here. This pew, and this pew, front three pews, stand up. Okay, in the next election, this November, all of these people in Sullivan County can vote and decide between these two candidates. These are the only ones that's going to take the time on election day to go vote. This is it. Very typical. This is it. Now, all of y'all will complain and gripe and shake your head about where America's going. But you're not even registered to vote. You're 18, you're not registered to vote. You haven't voted before. And so this is, now, watch this. Sadly, I'm just going to be honest with you. This group right here are a lot of Christians. And it's killing us. It's literally killing us. Let me tell you who does show up at the polls. The liberals show up. They're motivated. They have more beliefs in their, they have more passion for their ungodly beliefs than we have for our godly beliefs. Now, what I'm saying to you young people, stay standing for just a minute, is this. You say, preacher, I'm not 18 yet. Yes, and the first time when you turn 18, the first one of the first things you ought to do is go down and register to vote and be involved as a Christian in the voting process and never miss an election and vote every single time you've got an opportunity, because there's countries all over this world where people would love to have one time the privilege to go and cast a vote and have say about anything. And we have that opportunity, and we don't take advantage of it. You say, preacher, why are we ended up with the mess we have as far as all of these ungodly people in positions of authority deciding the future of our country? Because of people that are too lazy to get to the polls and vote and make a difference in an election. All right, you can be seated. I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to get that, okay? Now, Greene County, you got the same opportunity, all right? There's going to be two or three or four people that stand up and say, I want to represent you. And you know what? Watch this. This is where we do have a democracy. We have a right, as every person in Greene County has a say as far as who you want to represent you. And so what I'm saying is this, have your say. And make sure you're sending somebody, both in local government, state government, and federal government, that represents who you are and what you believe. And hey, you're an American. You get to choose that. Somebody else may not agree with you, but that's okay. They're an American. They get to choose that. This is what makes this country great. But if we, as Christians, if we vote biblical values, we're going to be on the same page most of the time with each other, voting for the same people, because usually you have a very, what I call a liberal candidate, which is somebody that has viewpoints that are anti-Bible, and you'll have more of a conservative candidate that has viewpoints that are more pro-Bible. I'm going to vote for the person that is closest in their beliefs to the Word of God. I'm not telling you to be a Republican. I'm not telling you to be a Democrat. I'm not telling you to be an independent. I'm not telling you to be a libertarian. I'm not going to tell you to be, I don't know, I'm sure there's other parties out there. But what I am telling you to do is be a Christian. And make sure that what you are doing, watch this. Well, the union says I ought to vote for that. Really? Well, but our for generations, our families have always been Democrat or Republican or either. So I what? What I'm saying is stop looking at the party and start looking at the people and the individual and judging people as individuals for what they stand and either vote them in or out based on whether or not they represent your viewpoint of life. Now, does that make sense to you, young people? That makes sense to you? Okay, so what I'm saying is this. If we are going to be good citizens, then we have a biblical mandate to be involved in the process. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Folks, listen. The key to a happy nation and a prosperous nation is get people that are righteous in authority. And we live in a country where we're blessed to have some say in that. So have your say. Okay, do your homework. Study the candidates. We are passing out. We've got them in the back. Voter guides that will tell you as far as on Christian, key Christian issues, where these candidates stand. Say, I don't have the time to go and interview every candidate. Okay, but there's people, thank God for Brother Eric Miller. And by the way, Brother Eric Miller will be with us on this Wednesday night. He's changed his schedule in order to be here. He's so excited about what we're doing and all this. He just made time in a busy time. He's going to come and be here for our Wednesday night service and speak, and you'll be blessed by it. But watch this. You know what? What I've got to sometimes do as a Christian is rely on people like Eric Miller and Advance America to do the homework, to do the legwork. But that doesn't mean that you don't get on the websites and check. Listen, when you get that voter guide, you're going to say, oh, well, all of these, listen, you just go to your county. There's not that many people running for key offices. You can do your own homework. You can double check things. You can make sure that people are in line with what you believe, and then go to the polls and vote. Watch this. Let me read it again. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Why are Americans, for the most part, disappointed and discouraged and depressed about what's going on in our nation? Because there are more wicked people in authority than there are righteous people. We are not a victorious, happy, triumphant, patriotic, smiling, flag-waving, upbeat, positive nation. We're mourning. I mean, every day you open the paper, you go, oh. You look at the finances, oh. You look at the prices of things. Oh. Why are we under this dark cloud? Because we as Christians, I'm afraid, have not done our due diligence and been good citizens and made sure that we're getting the right people in the right office. Starts right here on the local level. Then it goes to the state level. Then that feeds over into the federal level, okay? Now, can I just say this? You young men, listen to me, and some of you other men, listen to me. Say, preacher, I'm just tired of every election there not being a righteous candidate. You know, is it crook one or crook two? All right, then watch this. Hey, you know what? Not every young man in this church is going to be called to preach. You know what I think? I really believe some of our young men, as we grow up, and listen, stay in church, stay right with God, keep involved, raise your family right. But we're going to have some young men and some older men that says what I just said that guy says. I got a life. I got a business. I really don't have time for it. But the honest truth is somebody's got to stand up for America. And if you look at the history of our country, there were men that were usually very successful. They didn't need politics to be successful. They were successful in their own right. And they didn't do it because it was easy. They did it despite the fact it was an aggravation and it upset their schedule. And they literally went backwards financially to do this, but they did it because they wanted men of integrity guiding the country. And I really do think we're at the point where we, as Christian people, I think more and more dedicated Christians need to look at this idea of saying on a local level, or on a state level, or on a federal level, there needs to be people that are born again, dedicated, separated Christians going up there and representing the conservative views of a conservative area. And Indiana, for the most part, is still a very sensible Christian conservative community. But unfortunately, conservative Christian separated people, for the most part, are not stepping up and stepping out and being willing to pay the price to have to go through the aggravation of politics to go up there and say somebody's got to have a voice. So just think about that. I'll cover the last point, number 5, in our morning message, but let me just read it. Live your life in such a way that you strengthen your nation, not weaken your nation. I said that at the beginning. Every citizen at some point chooses to be a blessing to America or a burden to America. Young people, are you listening to me? You can bless America by being productive. You bless America by being righteous. You bless America by raising a godly family. Because as the family goes, the nation goes. And so that is the Bible mandates, God's word, Bible mandates for us as Christians. Heavenly Father, we've run out of time. We've rushed through a little bit of it, but I hope, dear God, that you'll help us to understand a little bit more what is going on next month as we have the elections and the opportunity we as Christians have to make a difference, dear God. If only one out of every 4 people is going to go to the polls, then shouldn't those people be Christian people? And doesn't that make us have an amazing opportunity to just show up and make a difference? And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be very prayerful and conscious. Dear God, a sense of duty, we don't hear that word very often anymore. A sense of duty would come upon us as Americans to live right, do right, stand up for what's right, vote for what's right. And dear God, I pray that you'd help America, Lord, in this next election. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.